Welcome. Hi and welcome. Boa noite a todos. I'm going to give a talk about free software usage and development in South America. And I will give the talk in English. Just if anybody doesn't like it, raise your hand. But I think we will have as many people who wouldn't like it in German, so I'm going to put up the slides afterwards in English, German, and Portuguese. So don't worry if you do not understand everything. Okay. We will start with the motivation of the presentation. Why did I choose to talk about such a topic? Can I see that? Okay. When people, especially here in Germany, hear about the word South America or Brazil, I'm going to concentrate on Brazil because this is where most of my experience comes from, but I'm also going to include other South American countries. So most people associate a nice beach, sun. Well, I also did this, but I also thought it was important to consider the software development in this country and the information technology progress which is being done there. Incidentally, there also exists a more or less regular event which is called Open Beach, where you have lots of hackers going to the beach and swimming around and hacking and, well, just like the Cars Congress, but in a more comfortable weather situation. Okay, let's start about Brazil. Lots of Western media report about Marcelo Tosati, the kernel 2.4 maintainer. They report about Connectiva and about Curumin, which is a kind of Knoppix based on or Knoppix derivative. They report about the huge Slackware community, and they report about lots of Brazilians hacking Java and lots of, well, attacks coming from IP addresses registered in Brazil and other countries down there. So there's not really much information you get here about these countries. All you get is a slight scratch on the surface, and this is also part of my motivation to talk about how it really is, or at least how I perceived it to be. I mean, there's still lots of information to be gathered. So a quick rundown, what do we have in Germany in kind of official open source projects legalized by the government or by big industrial institutions? We don't have much. In the year 2001, 2002, the German Ministry of Economy supported some open source projects, but since then they have withdrawn their support and don't really support it anymore. There's also pressure from the patent industry, Ministry of Justice, and so on. We all know this. So let's go straight down to South America. The culture part is about Brazil again. We have lots of people, mostly young people. So lots of people interested in computers. They have a strong culture when it comes to internationalization, localization, much more than people here, because people here say, oh, this program is only available in English, I don't care. Down there they say, it's only available in English, I won't use it. So for them it is important to translate it, and not only translate it to Portuguese in Portugal, like it is PT_PT, but also to localize it. This is what L10N is for. To localize it to the Brazilian community, and the same is true for Spanish. Lots of companies, software producers have produced software localized for or internationalized for Spain, but not for Argentina, Chile, and so on. And lots of groups have sub-organizations in Brazil. Debian has one in Brazil and one for each state in Brazil. KDE, GNOME, they all have some kind of local institutions. The universities, my first example is the Université Fédérale du Paraná. This is one of the largest universities in the south, and they are using free software for 12 years now. And they have deleted all their Windows installation 5 years ago. And do not really regret it, because lots of projects they are doing now are really successful due to free software. For instance, the Multihead project, this is where they started to become successful, to use one computer and connect four or more monitors to it to save money. And the biggest project right now is Chadrez Online. It's Chess Online. It's a project which is aimed at children, so they do not go to the streets and fight there, but instead to learn chess. It's like a social project, like people in the in other lower social communities are expected to go play sports, play basketball, instead of going fighting on the streets. So I think it's quite interesting that the government puts money in chess education. And the chess server is a project which has been abandoned on SourceForge like 2 years ago, and they are now reusing the source code and have cleaned up it, and now it's one of the most flexible chess servers in the world. Also, the other big universities, Rio de Janeiro, São Paulo, Brasilia. You can also add Unicamp, which has implemented a Rauto, which is kind of how-to, but spelled in Portuguese, which is an online help system for questions and answers. And right now, I'm working with a guy to implement a chatbot interface, so people can communicate with the chatbot and ask Linux question, how do I configure my driver for blah, and he will answer, yeah, check this manual or use this URL. Because especially down there, if you check the mailing list, there are a lot of people who have just started using Linux, and you maybe know it from your Linux user group. Lots of people asking questions, I have Linux 10.2, it doesn't work, what should I do? Well, and so the chatbot has all the work and the people can do other things. PSL Brazil. PSL is Projeto Software Livre. It's a national project for free software. It's probably kind of the similar to the Free Software Foundation Europe here, but I don't think that Germany or other European countries even have this kind of organization. So it's quite, they are really proud about it, that they have achieved something on national level. And as we will see later on, other countries have done the same. Special sub-project exists for each of these states, and also for women, which, like Debian women and KDE women, have all been founded in Porto Alegre, which is a city where also Miguel de Casa and other hackers found their wives. So a lot of hackers think it's a magic city. The Forum International is hosted there every year, and KDE Brazil was founded this year, and also the large escalation between the ETE and Microsoft initiated there this year. We will later watch a video and I will tell about this conflict. ITI is kind of like the BSI in Germany. It's the state institution, which is one national institution, which is responsible for implementing security infrastructure for companies, for government projects, and so on. I will later show a video about them. And we have the foundation of Linux Magazine Brazil, which has filled a gap, which was formerly opened by Revista do Linux, a magazine issued by Conectiva, but they have stopped producing it, so Linux Magazine Brazil is now available there. We have a lot more organizations. We have Abrasol, which is the Association for Free Software. They are more like a lobby organization. We have produced a seal which says this good is produced with free software. So you can buy a book, and if the book has the seal, It means that the content of the book is free. You are free to copy it. You are free to modify it. For the production of the book, they only use free like DTP programs or typesetting programs. And I think such a seal is quite important. In Germany or in Europe, similar efforts have been started, like Open Music, like Creative Commons in the US, and now also worldwide. But I think such a seal is quite nice to show to people and show them, here you can trust that no proprietary software has been used, or that the author and the distributors of these goods are on the good side. The MSL is also a Movimento software lever, which means free software movement. It is also quite important, especially in the South. Lots of free software projects are working under the umbrella of MSL. We will later see it in the example of Paraná. And thanks due to GForge, I don't know how many of you know GForge. It's a SourceForge clone. As you might know, SourceForge has closed the source code for their software in 2001 or 2002. And the last version available was rotting there, and nobody really cared about it. But people left SourceForge and went to Savannah and to other project hosting centers. So one day, one of the original developers decided to go with GForge and base it on the old software, and right now it's quite advanced and lots of projects implemented. In Germany we have BerlyOS, which is based on old SourceForge code, but it lacks lots of functionality because nobody seems to really maintain it. And in Brazil we have at least two big ones, which is Código Livre and FANESP Incubadora. FANESP is like an industry association or association which grants funds to universities for research. So it's quite important that such official institutions offer free software hosting and also encourage their employees to host their project there and open up the source code. And also universities really recommend their students to use free software. I will later talk about the reasons behind this when we come to the government. It is important to understand that in these countries, which are often considered third world countries, people do not really have money to go buy the latest iBook and the other day an MP3 player and the other day a DVD player and so on. They rely on public infrastructure, which makes internet and digital access available to them at a low price or even without any money involved. And this is why in lots of cities in Latin America in general, you find telecentros, sometimes called infocentros, which is like a room in several parts of the cities you can go into. It's like a public library. You can use the computer there. You have your account. You can read email. You can browse the web. And in São Paulo alone, as we can see lower down, SAS6, it's the Linux distribution. It's based on Debian. They have two editions, one for the server side, one for the client side. And thanks to the subscription, we have now more than 500,000 users, which is also more than 500,000 additional Debian users. And this number is going to grow. It was 550,000 when I last checked it. It crossed 500,000 in November, so I think right now we are at 600,000 already. And I don't know if you are aware of the number of population there, but São Paulo alone has like 17 million inhabitants, so there's lots of potential, and the number of people using proprietary operating systems is decreasing, because even if it's offered for them illegally on a CD, they do not have support, because nobody is going to tell them how they can really use it usefully, and they still have to pay for internet access. Whereas if they use this Linux in the telecentros, they have support, they have all kinds of software for free. You all know what kind of software, what wealth is available. and even for those not with access to telecentros, are going to enjoy the internet, for instance, in the slums of those cities, which are called favelas. You have wireless LAN available in social projects, so people are building up antennas and routing the internet protocols from house to house, so people do not have to pay high fees to telecommunication providers. And I think especially these public centers is something which is missing in Germany. You do have internet cafes, but I think making education, not just the access, but also education available to people is quite important. A special portal is also the city administration of São Paulo. I will show this now. I have a static copy here. As you can see here, it's not quite complete, but you can see most of the system. They are using Zoop to administer their homepage, which recently had a facelift. And down there on the bottom, you see something special. Well, maybe you do not see it, but I can show you. Using a magnifier, so the whole portal of the city administration is placed under copy left, which legally might not be what they might not be thought out to all the ends, but the intent is quite clear. They want to make available publicly all the information about city statistics, about city maps. And if you go to a city in Germany, I randomly picked my city, Dresden. For each and every piece of content, you have to like give your signature that you are not going to use it for any use other than private use. And I think it's a step into the right direction to make such information available under copyleft licenses. Yeah, here, as you can see, the site is quite old. They had 500,000 people. So it's growing quite fast. Okay, let's go back. And now to the government case. The government has opened up a federal free software portal, which comes in two flavors. Collabora is also a collaboration portal based on GeForge, so you can register projects there. You get a nice government email address, blah, 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 at users, blah, gov.br. So if you want one, go there. And Interaction is the wiki system where you can edit wiki pages together with government officials. You can work out projects with them and discuss ideas about how software is deployed in the country and about project, about specialized distributions developed by one city, which should be used in other cities and so on. I also have a static copy here. This is how it looks like. So it's quite official under the presidency of the Republic. And the two people that you can see here, one of them is Sergio Amadeo from the ETE. So I will now talk a bit more about him. ETE is quite important in setting the strategic direction of the government when it comes to software and to security. And they published an official recommendation that all government software deployments should be based on free software and that no more proprietary software is allowed for such projects, which in turn led to a nice reaction from Microsoft, who said that they could not quite accept it and they started to launch several attacks against him and wanted to get him to court, but there was a collection of signatures and soon Microsoft had to drop the case. And voices say that Microsoft does not have really the best position anymore when it comes to such projects. So they lost. Other remarkable places are that people who work in the free software community are hired to work in government institutions, and you can go to IRC and talk with them. How is it in your ministry? How is free software used there? So check out this nickname on IRC. Talk with him. Well, he doesn't have much time, but it's nice to see that there's such an openness and it's not closed and you don't know what is going on behind the curtains. I don't know if you listened to the other talks today, but we had some about digital rights in Germany and the media industry, which is forging contracts with the government without the citizens here being able to interrupt. The same with software patents. So I think Germany can learn a lot from such developing countries. The next important point is that Brazil has started relationship with other countries, especially Venezuela and Argentina. And these countries also have lots of progress, especially in Venezuela last week or 2 weeks ago. Similar law passed that requires free software in the government. So another bad day for Microsoft, I would say. And also for other proprietary companies like SAP, IBM, whatever companies try to get their foot in there. They have published a migration guide. Oh, I see, it's like the last point. They did so during Conisli, which is an important free software event each November in Sao Paulo. And this is like the guide here, which recommends migrations from server operating system A to free software server operating system B, from mail client A to free software mail client B. So especially in governments or in authorities where people do not always have much technical clue as we have, do have some kind of helping hand. They know what to deploy and what rather not to deploy, and they have a kind of feature matrix which we can use to see that all their needs are matched by free software. Formerly I talked about the software libre, movement to software libre in Paraná, which is one of the states, one of the richest states of Brazil. They have now also a government portal, and lots of cities, especially online elections, are going to use free software solutions. So this is worth checking out. It also has some contents in English, so don't be afraid of reading it. In Rio Grande do Sul, where Porto Alegre is located, which I formerly mentioned, the city administration software has been shown to the United Nations and has been proposed as an official implementation for all developing emerging countries, all countries which are interested in administrating cities. It's not something everybody of us does, but people who do, I think, are glad to find such software. And of course, also there the companies are putting pressure on the United Nations, but it will, I think, in the end turn out well for free software solutions. Another really remarkable event is the Jogos BR campaign, which has been started or launched by the Ministry of Culture in Brazil. Lots of people, especially young people, kids, use mobile phones to play games and pay lots of monies and have lots of debts after the month is over. So the ministry or the minister proposed to implement games based on free software. So he launched a competition, and everybody who had a suggestion for a game could mention it on the website. And in the second stage, 36 ideas were chosen out of many, as you can see. And those people who will enter the final 12 will receive money from the government to produce their online games or every other kind of games they had in mind based on free software. And as you can see, even if it wasn't a requirement to open it up, more than 80% decided on their own to open up their projects for on a code level so they could collaborate with others and make it available. And I think that out of the final 12, more or less all were free software projects. So if you need cell phone games, if you need online games based on free software, you should check it out. It's not quite over yet. The third stage is starting soon, and I think in the mid of 2005, the production should be running of the games. And if they are based on free software, they are certainly going to use a public GeForge run by the government. Okay, I'm going to show a little video of ETA. I hope we can see it. Okay, the quality is really bad, so I'm going to explain it a bit. This is a government official who explains the usage of public cryptography systems, public private key. And this video is made available in the Telecentro, so all 500,000 people can now watch how asymmetric cryptography works. And this is a nice education part of these telecentros, because otherwise people would not have access to this information, because most of them do not attend universities or even some kind of advanced school, and they would never understand the need for cryptography and digital signatures. And here the government is like explaining to them how it all works and how they are going to protect themselves so they are safe from the government itself even, and from the industry spies and whatever. This is also in contrast to Germany, where the government is kind of following a trend to trying to making it hard for people to communicate in an encrypted way. Okay, I think it's been shown enough. This is the second main point. It's free software. We are talking a lot about Richard Stallman and how he has founded the movement. So he's quite a star in Brazil. And he's also visited Peru several times. So if you Google on the web for Richard Stallman Machu Picchu, you will find pictures of him wandering in the mountains and quite with a lot of sweat. Okay, let's finish the video. Let's continue with some slides. Itaipu is the largest power plant in the world. It is in the south of Brazil. And it is, well, not quite. It's half of it is in south of Brazil. Half of it is in Paraguay. So Itaipu International, or Binacional, it's a company which runs these two countries. It's producing energy, power, by means of water. And they are using old machines from the 70s, from the 80s, old software from the beginning of the 90s. No people have access to the source code anymore. Parts of it were implemented by Siemens. If these people go to Siemens and ask, where's the source code? People at Siemens, they don't really know it. So it shows a lot about the organization of commercial companies, and it made to them it made clear that such an important power plant could only run on free software. So they are going to implement an own Linux distribution. It already exists, Itaipu Linux. And they organize an install fest in Foz do Iguaçu, which is the name of the town where the power plant is located. And they are going to install their Linux, but also other distributions, and show to people that it is quite easy to run everything from handhelds to power plants on free software. And this year, they even organized Latinoware, which was an important political event. Lots of politicians were invited from South American countries, but also from Europe. So we had, I think, one or two German government officials there, but haven't really found out in the news if they had if they understood anything or even tried to understand anything. And also Forum Gnome was hosted, and this region is like a region which is going to market itself as an open source region or free software region. So I think we can see much more development from this part in the future too. It's quite near to Argentina and to Paraguay, so this is where lots of official contracts are being made. Other cases in the industry. We have the metro system of São Paulo, which is one of the most modern metros or tube systems out there. The one in Berlin, I don't know what's its age, like 100 years. And São Paulo was founded in the 70s, 80s, in the newest lines in the 90s. So they even when they started, they used software to control the trains. And they also use Linux, even on the desktops. You can go there to the metro administration and have a look and talk with the people. So it's quite interesting and impressive how they manage to run it. And especially when you consider that companies here always say, oh, it doesn't work for us, it doesn't scale up, our employees will never get it, and so on and so forth. You can always show to São Paulo, because any city in the world will have a hard time matching up that size and that complexity. So I think it's quite nice to have those use cases where you can refer other people to. Varig is the largest airline company in Latin America. And they use Linux on the servers, but on the desktops, I couldn't really find out information. So I think it's quite impressive for them that an airline company is putting the back end on Linux, especially if you consider that when we had the Y2K problem here in Europe, lots of people at the airports had quite some hard time explaining how their Windows machines could not really handle it, and so they had some outages in flight. The ATMs, the banking machines in Brazil, are running with a little Tux icon when they boot. So I know the guy who implemented this solution for the banks, and he said it wasn't a problem at all because, well, a banking machine doesn't really need much complexity. So banks can save a lot of money using free software. Caixa is like a large federal bank, and they have recently distributed thousands of copies of their Curumin, which is a Knoppix-like derivative. So they are making available this distribution as well to their people and to their employees, to clients, to companies they work with. So as you can see, it's not just one, two people making an install party somewhere, but it is really huge, especially in numbers. And we have more ministries, defense and health, who sometimes even run portal sites where you can download their customized distributions, which they use for internal purposes, or find other information, or find a list of features they need and programs to be able to migrate, and so on. Now, to the more political background, both Brazil and Argentina have recently issued a request to the World Intellectual Property Organization, where they, supported by lots of emerging countries like India, request that free content, kind of like copyleft licenses, especially for education, and the prohibition of software patents should be a usual thing in the world economy, but it's not, because lots of Western countries are blocking these requests, and I don't have to name the countries, but we all know them. So it is important that one day such requests are also supported in Western countries. Maybe it's possible with pressure from the inhabitants. As we have seen in the case of software patents, it has worked out quite well, the FFII efforts and others. So maybe this one is going to help as well in this case. Okay, a quick rundown of other countries. Much of you probably don't even know this list of countries in South America, so I met some guys from Solar. They are like Projeto Software Livre in Brazil, so they also have a national organization in Argentina. And the same is true for Uruguay, who have an Luke, a Linux user group, which is quite active. In Colombia, there's Colibri. Especially in the Spanish-speaking countries, they also have tight connections to what is happening in Spain. You probably have heard of Hisper Linux, of Extremadura, of Barapuntu, other communities. Those of you who have been at LinuxTag this year, I unfortunately couldn't because I spent my time in Brazil, but I think the talks are still online. You can download the slides of a talk about free software usage in Chile, which is quite different because, the background is different. So they use somehow another approach, but they also have a lot of common, like all the other countries in South America. And a bit farther away is Mexico, but they also start to use telecentros, and I think it is something we will see in Eastern Europe countries at least, and I personally hope that we are going to have such things here as well. Okay, before we come to the end, I want to show you a PDF file. This is one information I found someone sent to me, and you can see how the government works in evaluating solutions for them. So it's not quite that they are working behind closed curtains, but you can have a look. As you can see, it's quite new. It's the Ministry of Education and how they chose to use free software for their whole ministry, and they did a rundown of all the distributions. They selected six distros initially: Mendrix, SUSE, Fedora, Connectiva, Slackware, and Debian. And Connectiva, Slackware, and Debian are considered Brazilian distributions, so they have the advantage of being having a user and developer base locally, but as we see, this is not the selection, the single selection criteria. So you can probably not translate it, so I'm going to do it for you. They evaluated the technical and the political, ideological backgrounds of each of the distributions. They made a list of priorities, so stability and security is the most important thing for them, but also technical innovation and support. And for the workstations or client side, they put ease of use on the first place and visual appearance on the second. So as you can see, it's quite a difference what they use on the server and on the client side. And then they made a list of applications and window managers, which is what the user is going to see, but also, as we can see in the red circle, they made a list of distributions, which is what the support staff is going to see, but because they are not really interested in whether Mozilla or Firefox is going to use, but how to install security updates and so on. And they wanted to please both sides. And as you can see here, the hardware is not really up to date. 40% is, like you can read, 600 megahertz CPU, which is going to be upgraded. But still, one third, 35%, is going to stay at this level or even less. So the distribution should really scale up. And then they talked about the use cases we mentioned. KMUSA, it's the third point. As you can see, the ETE uses Mandrake. I personally also have been surprised by this, but also Radio Price, which is kind of like the public radio station in Germany. SUSE doesn't really have a use case in Brazil. Fedora Core is used by Serpro, which is also an official institution. Connectiva is used by STM. I don't know what this is. DataProF, it's the healthcare organization. They use Slackware. And I think it's quite interesting because the government has access to all the information. You can see who is going to use what. And as you can also see, not everyone is going to use the same, but they are going to mix it up. And the Ministry of Cities uses Debian. As we have seen, a Debian developer is in charge there, so this is not really a surprise. And then we have a list, and they really crossed out all distributions which do not fit into their priority list. And it came down to a showdown between Fedora and Debian. But they chose Fedora. So this is what is going to be implemented. They list the disadvantages again. And for instance, Fedora does not really, well, it does have US origins, so it doesn't really come with localized applications and translations installed. For instance, we have the problem that OpenOffice in Fedora does not really have the Brazilian Portuguese, but only the Portuguese of Portugal. So they had to use the efforts already done at Mozilla.org.br and OpenOffice.org.br. And the same is true for other applications which are going to be used on the desktop. By the way, they do not talk about the desktop here, so we are going to see what kind of desktop they use. Well, that's not so interesting. And here they have a plan for what they are going to do. As we can see in November, the Fedora 3 core was released, and this is what they base their work on. And from now on, they are going to publish all what they are going to do. So, and this is nice because it shows some kind of lies which are told by people like Microsoft is going to open up the source code. These quotes were gathered from people from proprietary software companies who try to influence them. So one company said, you don't need free software because one day Microsoft is going to open up the source code of Windows. The next one said, well, Debian is nice, but they won't release before next year. The next one said that Sun, who opened up the source code of OpenOffice, is going to close it again. And the third one said that Fedora is not going to be available for free anymore, but Red Hat is going to close the effort again. So as you can see, there are large lobby groups trying to put pressure on even on government institutions. Okay, let's finish here. So do you have questions? Yeah, it's like a kind of a game. Those of you who is going to win the microphone is the winner and can start.
Okay. My question is, how is the general job market in, for example, Argentina or Peru? I'm asking because I have, well, a few connections to these countries. And is there any demand for free and open source software experts? That is, I mean, software developers. Well, and does it pay off for me as a European going there and working there for a few years?
I personally got two offers while being down there, but I spent half a year there and I learned the language and traveled around and talked with a lot of people. So for someone new to this country, I don't know if it's easy to get a job because it depends on your education level, I think. Lots of Brazilians, well, I don't really know about Argentina, but I think it's not quite different. Lots of people down there, before the government was pushing for free software, lots of them only downloaded more or less legal copies of existing proprietary systems, and they learned to code in Visual Basic and in Java and what else was available in mainstream programmer scene, for instance. So most of them are not really specialized yet in the areas which are needed now, I think.
Another question, the final one. How important is it for them to have some kind of university degree, or is practical experience more important than showing that you have a certain degree on a certain university?
The university system is quite different from the one here. So you have private universities, which are quite expensive, but are not really the best because only rich people send their children there and expect that they get some kind of degree, whatever they get. So on the other hand, you have the public universities on a federal level and on a state level. And many universities have names associated with them, which kind of have a specialization in one or two fields. For instance, where I was living, the University of Oro Preto, which is located in the mountains, they were quite active in geological research, and right now they are getting all the research projects from big petroleum companies. But in the case of information technology, many universities are more or less more stay with the practical side. You see a lot of Cisco certifications and lots of internships with companies. But the first ones, the big ones I mentioned, are really beyond that. They have research projects which really match those being done here. Of course, they need some more time to catch up, but some projects are really interesting when it comes to especially the topics I'm interested in. I found lots of interesting work in robotics, in operating systems, in some topics like that.
Okay, two small questions. First one, there is currently the feeling that the South American countries are trying a little bit to liberate from the US in a way that they do business and the way that they are dependent on US, they were dependent on US dominance. I mean, they were regarded very long time as yep. The backyard of the US. Do you think this is a symptom of this trend that they so strongly enforce open source software?
I think it's quite strongly connected because if you regard the news you see there, I mean, it's kind of news you won't see in European or in US TV, but they always have some kind of conflict with the US and also on a political level. And they really do not like to be seen as third world countries. And so having something on their own is on the one hand important, on the other hand quite dangerous too, because lots of people think that some kind of Knoppix derivative called Kumin is the way to go, but it's maybe just the first step. So there has also been lots of internal critique inside the country about the direction. But I think in the long term, they want to build up a software industry, and they realized that starting a proprietary software industry does not really pay out because they are going to be bought up by existing companies which already have affiliates in South America.
And the second question is, I know from Peru, where they have this cabinas públicas, I think something yes. They're called, which are heavily used by peasants to organize their prices and organize selling of agricultural products, which is, of course, still a very strong point in developing countries. Is there? Do you know anything about this project, and is there a similar project in Brazil that you know about?
Well, I know about a similar project in India, but I think it's quite a comparable situation. Yeah, people are going to use the internet, even people whom you wouldn't expect to be able to use technical devices. So you meet them on the road and think, oops, this person is working in his backyard for 50 years now, and then he's going to show you his computer and look, I'm researching the latest weather conditions, so I can grow my seeds accordingly. I experienced such things, yes. They do exist.
So how does the per capita income relate to computer penetration in homes? And if it does relate, what is the per capita income of Brazil or Sao Paulo or something?
At the beginning, I didn't really understand.
The per capita income and how it relates to PC penetration in homes.
Ah, okay. Yeah, the average income in Brazil is quite different from Germany, for instance. people more, you can more or less divide by the exchange rate of the currency. So 1 euro is four reais, so you can divide by four. And you can see that even professors who do at the universities who do not earn more than students working here, they are not really able to finance computers. But also the prices are much lower there. And recently the government started a project. They are looking for a company to produce computers for, I think, 300 euros is the exchange. And so far, I think AMD was the only one who said, we are going to do it. But the project is still running, so we can see a lot more companies who are going to run for this project. Noch Fragen? More questions? Okay, then thanks for listening.